From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, we dive into a recent survey that looks at how South Dakota views childcare. We'll also look at a new nursing simulation center in Pierre expected to be completed this month. It's Friday, January 2nd. Here are today's stories. Consensus can be hard to come by in policymaking, but a recent report finds an area where many can agree: the importance of supporting early childhood brain development. The Center for the Prevention of Child Maltreatment examined how South Dakota policymakers make decisions on early childhood issues in its recent survey. SDPB's Jackie Hendry reports.
The survey is based on a similar report conducted in Texas, but adapted to reflect South Dakota's political structure. Darla Beal is the assistant director of the Center for the Prevention of Child Maltreatment and one of the authors of the report.
We know that in South Dakota, there is a lot of work being done in cities and counties as well, and we wanted to expand the potential participant pool, so we expanded it to not only state legislators, but also elected city and county officials.
Despite the expanded pool, the response rate was limited.
There were 31 total participants, and that, you know, just isn't a lot when we think about the number of elected officials at the state, local, and county level.
But even with the limited responses, Beal says the survey yielded some useful information and highlighted areas of consensus.
Both parties overwhelmingly said that prenatal care, children's health care, and strong relationships with caregivers are essential for healthy brain development. It also came out that they want more local data to help them make decisions and local stories about the impact of investments into early childhood brain development.
Respondents differed on the level of responsibility local government plays in supporting early childhood development. The full report is available online. The Center for the Prevention of Child Maltreatment will offer the survey again to state lawmakers during Children's Week at the Capitol. That falls in the second week of the upcoming legislative session in January. I'm SDPB's Jackie Hendry.
With the help of a grant from Avera, Pierre will soon have a new nursing simulation center. Lake Area Technical College is expanding and remodeling its existing lab at the Capital City campus. Tracy Bisker is the Foundation Executive Director at Lake Area Technical College. Bisker says the new lab will feature advanced mannequins and high-tech medical equipment that prepares students to enter the workforce.
It mimics essentially like a real-life, real-world experience. And we do that so that before they get out into industry, they're able to practice those skill sets and get a hands-on experience before being with patients or in that real-life setting. And so they'll be able to develop their clinical skills, critical thinking skills, just in a more realistic setting.
The new center will also be used by Avera St. Mary's Hospital for employee training and professional development. Additionally, Bisker says it will provide outreach to local high school students.
Just really getting them exposure to the healthcare fields gives them a really great opportunity to maybe see what their potential could be. We have a lot of offerings here at Lake Area Tech, in addition to our practical nursing and our registered nursing, where students can kind of get a hands-on feel of what it might look like to be in that particular career field. I think it's going to be a really great thing for our students that are there, the community, and then also the high school students that we hope to have some career exploration of our healthcare fields.
Healthcare workers, especially registered nurses, are projected to be one of the most in-demand jobs in the state over the next several years. The new nursing simulation center is expected to be completed in early January. 2 years after losing its location in downtown Rapid City, the Hope Center Board of Directors announced that the organization will be dissolved. The announcement was posted on the Hope Center's Facebook page earlier this week. The Hope Center used its downtown location to help people living in poverty. When it closed in December 2023, the organization attempted to find another location, but a potential site was voted down by the Rapid City Common Council. The group says it will donate its remaining funds to four local organizations that will be announced at a later date. Some gubernatorial candidates are criticizing incumbent Governor Larry Rodin, saying he's using his office to aid in campaigning efforts. This is largely in response to Governor Larry Rodin holding multiple public announcements this month for grant dollars out of the state's future fund. In a statement to SDPB, State Speaker of the House John Hansen said that, at this point, the future fund isn't funding the state's future as it's intended to. Rather, it's, quote, funding the governor's political future. U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson called the fund an important tool. However, he said funds aren't meant to help someone's campaign. He said that taxpayers are right to worry when the announcements start looking like campaign rallies. Businessman Toby Doden didn't immediately respond to SDPB's request for comment. He told South Dakota Searchlight he thinks Roden is using taxpayer dollars largely for his own benefit. Governor Roden addressed the matter at a future fund announcement Tuesday in Brookings. He said he's not sure how to address the concerns.
I'm doing my job. Yeah, we're in a campaign, but life goes on, and I continue to be governor through this campaign. So we're going to continue to do our jobs and do public announcements like this. I think we owe it to the public to know what we're doing as a state and my office and our Office of Economic Development to promote our number one industry in our state. So I understand where they're coming from, but nothing I can do about that.
The state's Republican primary is June 2nd, 2026. Throughout this month, over 50 restaurants are going head-to-head in a downtown Sioux Falls burger battle. The competition is in its 13th year and has the most participating restaurants in its history. Restaurants in downtown create a unique burger that people can try themselves and then vote on. Winners are then announced in early February. The event is hosted by Downtown Sioux Falls to support local businesses and draw in residents and visitors to the area during January. Poet is sponsoring the competition. To see a full list of participating restaurants, visit dtsf.com. The South Dakota Department of Health is reporting the first two influenza deaths of the 2025-26 season. Both were residents of Minnehaha County and over the age of 64. State epidemiologist says influenza can be a serious illness and everyone needs to take preventative measures like washing hands, covering your cough, and getting vaccinated. Influenza activity is increasing statewide with 2,824 lab-confirmed cases and 154 hospitalizations reported. Influenza is a virus spread by respiratory droplets when an infected person talks, coughs, or sneezes. Common signs and symptoms of the flu include fever, cough, sore throat, headache, fatigue, and body aches. Travel South Dakota's Rose Parade float is an award winner. The float titled Carved in Stone, A Legacy of Teamwork, was awarded the Americana Award. The award recognizes the depiction of national treasures and traditions. The float showcased Mount Rushmore alongside some experiences that draw visitors to the state. It included buffalo and a depiction of dignity of earth and sky sculpture. More than 40,000 floral elements, including corn, wheat, sunflowers, light blue iris petals, and palm bark were used on the float. The 2026 parade marked Travel South Dakota's second appearance in the Rose Parade. The South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation is providing a virtual layoff assistance resource session on Tuesday, January 6th at 12 p.m. Central, 11 Mountain via Microsoft Teams. This free session is designed for individuals who have been laid off and are looking for support in reentering the workforce. Participants will be guided through the process of applying for reemployment assistance benefits and what to do after filing a claim. The session will also highlight job search resources, including tools for finding new employment, building additional job skills, and exploring training and education opportunities. Advance registration is required at the Department of Labor website. South Dakota currently has more than 17,000 job openings and an unemployment rate of 1.9%. Many South Dakotans can trace their roots back to Scandinavian countries. One Norwegian family with a unique and more recent immigration story shared their experience with StoryCorps. Einar Peterson talked with his sister Maggie about growing up in Nazi-occupied Norway during World War II. They also discussed how their family ended up settling in South Dakota.
I was born in Trondheim, Norway in 1936. My dad's name is Svetta and my mother's name is Freydis. We lived in my grandpa's apartment. I was there, and then the war started in 1940, and from then on, pretty much my mom and dad were working for the biggest contractor in Norway, and that was Hitler. But everybody else was working for him, too, because there was no other jobs. After the second year, probably, of the war, I got a little loose, and I got out of the hold of my grandpa and grandma and used to run around a little bit out in the street. They tried to tie me up once on the clothesline, but it didn't work, so they just let me go. And from then on, I was pretty much done what I wanted to, it seems like.
And how about school? Did you go to school regularly, or?
No. the Germans took over the school, so we had to go to school in a church basement. Only every other day we went to school till the Germans left.
So, Einar, about what? How old were you during this time?
Well, when the war was over, I was 9 years old.
So you were in Norway from age 4 to 9.
Well, and then we had...
I mean, in the occupation, the Nazi occupation.
And it took my dad 3 years to get permission to go to the USA.
Who started talking about going to the USA?
My aunt.
Okay.
His sister said that Russia's going to take over Europe. You better come over here. And so it didn't take much. Dad wanted to go back over there because he was there before in the 30s and part of the 20s.
In America, he was. And what was he doing in America then?
Well, part of it, he worked for his Uncle John. Then he fired him because he was during the Depression, and he had 3 boys with him, and he couldn't feed my dad. They didn't have the money, so evidently I kind of vaguely remember that my mom sent him the money to come back to Norway.
Oh, I think I remember Mom being really proud of that.
Yeah.
That she, the wife, the woman, could get enough money together to send him a ticket. Getting back to Dad's sister, whom I'm named after, she was desperate for Dad and his family to come to America. She had come to America earlier, and she was what's called an au pair, or a live-in babysitter, for a wealthy family in town. So I think you mentioned that they had to save for 3 years in order to get the money to come over?
Well, that and the quota, that's another thing.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. You had to...
We had to have a sponsor.
Yeah, you had to have a sponsor over here.
So how did we get from... I know we landed in New York City, of course. How did we get from New York City to, believe it or not, Vermilion, South Dakota? How did we get here?
By train.
Train. All the way to Vermilion?
Yeah, I remember coming when we got to Vermilion. We got to go outside, and the snow was piled up down there at this depot. That was one of their longest winters. That was 1948.
Yes, a little bit before Christmas.
And it was a couple days before Christmas we got it,
And I remember the picture they took of the two of us having gotten all of our Christmas presents. We both felt very American because you had a gun and holster set for your present. I still have a picture of you.
Yeah.
And I got a baby doll. And, you know, that's just so typical of a boy and a girl getting a Christmas present.
That was Einar and Maggie Peterson. They spoke with StoryCorps when the organization was recently in Sioux Falls. You can hear their full interview and other South Dakotan stories at StoryCorps.org. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.